God did something really recently in Ian's life that was just, it was a new one for me. As far as our group is concerned, no one's had this experience that he's had. And so I was like, Ian, you got to share that with everybody. So why don't you say what God did in your life recently?
Yeah. So hi, everybody. I'm Ian. For those of you who don't know, pretty sure everybody knows, but I'm Ian. So this was last Saturday. So my parents, I grew up in Hamburg. My parents are moving from my childhood home where I spent my entire life to now Pottsville. I live in Pottsville, but they're moving here now, which is great. I'm excited they're going to be here. But last Saturday, I was helping my dad move some of the stuff out and finalizing the move. Walking through the house I spent 21 years in, seeing everything totally empty was really strange. It was very surreal. And just sort of walking around, you know, it got me a little bit emotional, but nothing too crazy. I was like, ah, this is just really weird. And I didn't know how to process it. And I got to my childhood room where I spent most of my time. And I wasn't looking for anything spiritual. I was just reminiscing and remembering things. And I just like sat down and God just started giving me really particular visions, like very, very clear. Usually it's like fairly clear. And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was God. This was like 100%. There's no doubt what it was for me. And he gave me like a vision of little Ian, like maybe 6 or 7 years old, like little version of me. Like I could see it. And little Ian was like the only thing he said. He said a couple things, but the only thing that's really important for this is he was like, why are you so afraid of feeling things? Why are you so afraid of being in touch with your emotions? And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean? It didn't make much sense to me. And then it like wrecked me. It was the first time I cried in like over a year. Like I'm not an emotional person at all, typically. I guess I am now. But he was like, why are you so afraid of feeling things? And I realized, I guess, for a very long time, I wasn't in a numbness. I wasn't angry or sad or anything. I just wasn't feeling anything for a while, which didn't strike me as odd because I just wasn't feeling anything. But God was like, no. You're supposed to, you know, be in touch with these things. And it was like that was in the morning and for the rest of the day. And then moving forward every day since then, it's just been like a total 180 of just really out of character things for me have just become more natural of connecting with certain people and certain specific long answer or long asked for prayers have been answered very directly, which has been very, very great.
What's been the biggest difference in your life since that happened?
Biggest difference in my life. I mean, it's really hard to pinpoint anything other than just being more in touch with whatever it is that I'm feeling at a given point in time. Before it was just like most emotions were just foreign, totally foreign to me. Either I would just ignore them or push them down or whatever, typical guy stuff. But just really feeling things and being comfortable listening to God and really being able to hear things more clearly from God has been really, really wonderful. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Ian. I love this, right? The father didn't want his son to go through that life not feeling. Yeah, us guys feel less, sure. That's why we need you women folk to help us feel more. But what he wasn't experiencing wasn't normal, even for a guy, right? So I just love it. It's like you're sitting in your childhood room and you just see little Ian there and God speaks through little Ian to you. It's beautiful, man. Beautiful. So I wanted you to hear Ian's testimony to begin today for a couple reasons. Number one, I think, and this is, I want you to be primed for an amen after this. You ready? You got your amen ready to go? Amen. If God did that in Ian's life, he will do that in your life too, right? There's something God wants to do in you and he'll give it to you. And might be as strange as sitting in a room and boom, there you're talking. You see young, you know, your young self. But the part of the story that we didn't talk about is that week, there was a couple of us that gathered and did some confession and repentance work together. And we confessed and did some repentance. And Ian took that very seriously. And then Saturday, he has this experience with some inner healing. We call that emotional healing or inner healing. And the Bible makes it clear there is this direct connection between how sin can block our healing and experiencing the healing He wants. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we talk about that a lot. For our country, there has to be the people of God turning away from sin. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, couldn't be any more explicit, that if we confess our sins to one another, and that's what Ian did, then healing happens. Then the person can be healed. Isn't that, it's just so foreign to how we think as Protestants, because that's just not what we do. We don't think, oh, I've got to confess my sin to somebody else. Well, it turns out you better do it. Amen? If you want the healing that God has for you. So a story that came to us about a year ago from the mission field, there was a service happening in, I don't remember which country, I think it might have been Mexico. And no, I'm sorry, it was over in Asia. And 10 blind people, the word came forward that God was going to heal some blind people. So 10 blind people came forward to be healed. And so they laid their hands, started praying for them. And 5 of them were healed immediately. Boom. They got their sight back. Right? If that's me, I would have been like, all right, good enough. Sorry for the 5 of you that didn't get it. We'll keep praying for you. We'll give it to the Thursday prayer team and they'll pray you through, right? No, they didn't give up. They went down the other 5 and they said, is there anybody you need to forgive? Unforgiveness is a sin, a big one with God. Big, all caps, exclamation, right? So yeah, 4 of them said, yeah, there's somebody I haven't forgiven. They were, boom, healed of their blindness like that. Now they got the 10th, right? One more. So they said, is there a sin in your life? And yes, there was. They got that confessed and the healing flowed and all 10 were healed right away. So much hangs on this. I want to be a part of this revival that God's doing in the United States. I don't want it to skip over Schuylkill County. Is there a place that needs it more than we need it? So this is so important because it's not just about us, that we step back occasionally and we say, God, assay us. Look into us deeply. Is there anything in my life that's not of you? And this is the beauty of when God gets involved in our life and He puts His finger on our sin. It's always done in love. So if you feel today condemnation or judgment, that's not from God. That's either self-generated or a demonic attack on you. It's always love. How many of you can point back to a time where God really got deep into your life and on a point of sin, and it was so gentle and kind and loving? Oh, it's amazing when God does that. So let's ask Him to do that today through a psalm, Psalm 139. Let's pray this prayer together. I'm going to pray it out loud. And I'm going to invite you to just... I'll have just a moment of quiet prayer. You can pray this, whatever part of that from that prayer really speaks to you, and pray it and own it. Make this your prayer today. Amen. All right. So, Father, search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us today. Try us and know our thoughts. Please show us if there's any wicked way in us. And today, lead us into life, into the way everlasting. So go ahead and pray that quietly for yourself now. Search us, God, we pray. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord. Whatever it is you want to do in us today, we want it, Lord. Jesus' name. Search us and test us and try us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So, it's really interesting. Nicole and I have tried at various times to have vegetable gardens. And we have never had any success with a vegetable garden. We planted tomato plants. The vines grew up fine, but there were no tomatoes. One year we planted a hodgepodge, squash, cucumbers, pumpkins. Again, the plants grew up, they looked good, but the vegetables were small and immature. So we've never harvested anything that we could eat from our own gardens. Now really, the kind of the ironic and funny thing about this is that we both have agriculture in our genes, right? Nicole is descendant from farmers. Nebraska, Midwestern farmers, they know what they're doing. And my father always had whatever he touched. He had magnificent gardens. Whatever he grew, like, harvested enough for like an army, right? It was crazy. I grew up with that. Nicole grew up with that. We couldn't do it though. One of the powerful, just so powerful metaphors in the Bible is to describe our spirituality and our relationship with God in terms of planting and growing. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "You will always harvest what you plant." Now, this seems a completely unremarkable statement to us, doesn't it? Of course, despite my kind of being clueless about how to plant and grow anything, even I know this, right? I mean, I can't plant a cucumber seed and grow a banana. I mean, it won't work. I know that. So why is this simple statement in Scripture? Let's keep reading to find out. Verse 8, "The one who plants to please his sinful nature, from that nature will harvest destruction." Okay, starting to make sense now. God isn't teaching us about vegetable gardens. He's teaching us about life. And the sinful nature is that part that used to be in charge of our lives before we became Christians. It ran us. The Scripture actually says that sin was our master. We were slaves to sin. And we come to Jesus, become Christians, and we still have the struggle. We're set free. Sin doesn't control us anymore. By the way, if you think sin controls you, that's not what the Bible says. But the sinful nature is still there, and we can feel the tug of that some days. Anybody, can you relate to that? The Bible calls it the flesh pulling us. And this is saying that Galatians 6:8 is that it can still grow if fed. You know, I guess it was 16 years ago now, my wife saw a house and in the fall of that year and said, you know, I think we were looking for a house to buy. That's the house I want. And I wasn't so keen on it at the time, so I shut her down. Well, in February of that year, there was a foreclosure sign on the house. We bought the house. Got a great deal on it. It was $40,000 cheaper than it had been before. But it was a foreclosure, needed a lot of work, but God gave us a gem in the house. It came with a garage. What a gift in winters in Pottsville, right? Everybody else is digging out their car. I just pull right out of the garage. No snow on my car. No frost in the mornings. Just woo. It's even got a radiator in the garage. So the car, even on cold days, it's normally not colder than about 40 degrees in the car. Even when we get in, it's like, wow, thank you for this gift, God. I wouldn't have been smart enough to look for a house with a garage. I didn't know that was important, right? Mm-hmm. So occasionally on our street, there's this construction man, and it's parked there right now. We'll park his trailer and his van, which right down from our garage. And it blocks the view we have to back our car out. It actually creates kind of an unsafe situation for us to back out onto our street, because our street can get really busy at times, if you know Mahatonga Street. The temptation is to feed this sinful nature. Rawr, what is he doing? Why doesn't he know? Put a note on his car. Don't park here. You know how Pottsville people can be real nasty about things. We jump into that nastiness, right? Instead of feeding the spiritual nature, which is, and I'm tempted, I'm telling you, I was tempted this morning. I knew I was even going to talk about this, and the temptation was there. So God, open a door for me to have a spiritual conversation with this man. Let me build a relationship with him. Because maybe God had him parked there on purpose, because he knew there was a Christian, and this man's not a Christian, and it gives, maybe God wants to do a rescue mission in this man's life, right? It leads to destruction. This is not a word we should ignore, this word destruction. It destroys us. It destroys potentially others. We see so many Christians living out this, and I've done it. We've all been there, right? This place of destruction. So it's a warning to us. But here's the positive. Those who plant to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Jesus, we could add to that, said, I've come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Life now and life in eternity with God. Isn't that beautiful? So we can plant to destruction, or we can plant to life. I love this picture, right? This joy of being set free. And I know this isn't a picture of Ian, but I kind of imagine this being Ian, right? Sitting there in the joy that he had that Saturday, and other things happened in his life that day. Right, Ian? I mean, you were feeling it, weren't you, man? Beautiful, beautiful picture. So now, it seems to me this is really, really simple. We have two seeds, right? Again, you know, I'm not a genius in growing things, but even this one I can handle, right? If you plant one kind of seed, you get destruction. And if you plant another kind of seed, you grow life and eternal life. So none of us goes about with the seeds of destruction in our life thinking, I think I'll plant some seeds destroying myself today and others. No, we all want to plant this eternal life seed, this life of the Spirit seed. And so if you're like me, I'm like, okay, I get it. I don't want to grow destruction in my life. So how do I plant the seed that leads to life? How many of you are with me? How do I go about doing it? The answer, now we're doing things a little bit backwards, but I like to mix things up occasionally. One chapter back in Galatians, he gets a little bit more specific here. And he says in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, this is what he says, and this is what I'm suggesting are the two seeds. He says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are clear. So when we plant these leanings towards the sinful nature and we plant these things, that's one of the seeds. And this is what happens if you want to follow along on your handout today. This is the harvest. Listen to this harvest. I don't even like reading this in church. It's so icky to say out loud. The results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. And that's not even the end of the list there, he says, and other sins like these. Woo! How many of you want a little bit of that in your life? Yeah, I'd like a little bit of quarreling. Sure, why not? No, thank you. Let me tell you again, he goes on, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now let's couch this. So remember, we're not doing condemning or judgment. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world in John 3:17, but that the world through me might have life. Let's put this in terms of family, right? So God is a father. He wants us to understand our relationship with him in terms of family. So if our son graduated from high school and said, the university I really want to go to is in New York City. That's where I want to go. We would have been like, whoa, all right. We got to talk, because we want you to be aware of all the things that can destroy you in New York City. We would have had this frank conversation with him about the places to avoid, the things that can hurt him. And we would have made sure if he was going to go to New York City with our support, that he stayed away from those places, right? There's a lot of ways in New York City to get messed up. That's all the father's doing. Saying, look, please listen to me. You can't be with me in the kingdom of God. I want you with me, but you can't if you're living this life. It actually separates you from me, and that's your choice. It's not mine, because it destroys you. Does that make sense? Now, on the positive side of that, we would have said to him, let's find the places that will give you life in New York City. And I would have knocked on every door of every pastor I knew in the city. And I know a few said, hey, this is where my son's living. Where's a life-giving church he can go to? What are other young people that he can be with to help him? And so the second seed is following the Spirit's leading. So you notice we got two things going here, follow and follow. The seeds are following different things. And I've gotten this one out completely out of order. Galatians 5:25 is at the end of this section, but I wanted you to see it first. Here's what the Holy Spirit gives you. I love this compare and contrast. So think of all the icky stuff we just said. Here's what the Holy Spirit gives. This kind of fruit in our lives. There's the agricultural again. Has anybody ever tried to grow fruit before? Anybody do grapes? You can do grapes. We grew a pineapple once. That's the only thing we were ever successful with, was a pineapple. Did you know you have to live in a subtropical or tropical country? You cut the head of the top of a pineapple off, put it in the ground, and a year later you get another pineapple. I know. Didn't require any watering, fertilizer. We just ignored it for a year and it did it on its own. So that's why we were successful with it. It was right by the front door, so we could watch it all the time. And our neighbor wanted it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does when we're planting the seeds. You don't have to earn these things. You don't have to work for them. I've just got to be more patient. That's what I've got to do. Where is that in this scripture? Look, this is what the Holy Spirit does. Love. How many of you would you like to have more love? Joy. Who needs joy? Peace. I read something recently where people are beginning to accept fear, the feeling of fear, as a way of life. And if they don't feel fear, they go to find it because that's their safe place, is being afraid. How sad is that? After 3 years of COVID and everything else, that's what they're used to. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And so verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So here it is. And this is God's grace, such powerful grace. He gives us the power to choose. He gives us grace. Is God saying, I'm actually going to give you the ability to follow what I'm asking you to do. So there's these two paths. And I'm just not going to stand back, God saying, and wait for you to figure it out. No, I'm holding your hand. I'm guiding you. Come on, stop going down this path and follow me. And this is where God starts to grow all the good stuff in our life. So I'm like, I want to stop and follow daily, hourly, minutely, secondly. You can use that word, by the way, minutely, if you want. I know that's not a word, but we all use it enough, it will become a word. I've heard so many people say, maybe you have, maybe you've even said it yourself, what's wrong with me? You ever hear anybody say that? I have such bad luck. We don't have bad luck. We have bad planting. Right? There's no such thing as bad luck. There's bad planting in life because you cannot plant a carrot seed and get a watermelon. Can you imagine? I love farmers. If you ever get to have a friendship with a farmer, dive right in. They're some of the best people. Can you imagine you're leaning on the fence next to a farm, you know, talking to the farmer. He's got a big piece of grass sticking out. He's munching on, you know, just shooting the breeze with you. You both got Pepsis at the end of a work day. And how's the crop going? Oh, it's going good. It's the soybean crop out there. Oh, yeah? Yeah, I couldn't afford the soybean seeds, so I bought corn seeds this year. But I have faith. It'll turn into soybeans. No, that's not how it works. We can't ignore this law in life. This is what we call the law of, in a little bit more theological language, sowing and reaping, of planting and harvest. It is a law just like the law of gravity. And if we ignore it, we get a harvest we detest. We end up in a place in life we don't want to be. We can't plant anger and expect to grow peace. We can't plant gossip and expect to have love. And on we could go. So the things that are happening in your life today are the results of what you've planted in the past. You're reaping the harvest of what you planted last week and last month and a year ago and 10 years ago. Amen? The good news is, well, there's two points of good news here. You can get healing for some of that and get deliverance So it's not like you're burdened. God's like, even though you may have made horrible mistakes in the past, I'm here to rescue you out of them. What's the word for that? What is Jesus called? The Savior. That means rescuer. You want to be rescued, He'll rescue you. But that means you got to then stop and follow, right? You can't say, yes, I want to be rescued today, but I love gossip. I just love it. I got to keep that going because, man, there's such juicy gossip in my neighborhood and at work. And some people, that's their identity, right? They love to be the community gossip. You know anybody like that? Yeah. So Jesus will rescue you. But here's the other part of good news. From this point forward, your future is determined by what you plant. So if you want to change your future, you can. You don't have to be a victim. There are no victims in the kingdom of God. We're set free from being victims. We are overcomers. We are victorious because of Jesus Christ. No matter what the world throws at us, no matter what anybody throws at us, we can rise above it together in Jesus. Okay, I'm not getting enough amens on that. So if you want to change your future, you can. But let's go back to where we started, because God puts an exclamation point on this, as if we didn't already get it, right? But there's an exclamation point here, which I skipped over. Some of you may have caught it. Maybe like, he didn't quote the whole verse there. Well, I'm going to quote it all for you now. Galatians 6:7. You'll always harvest what you plant. You feel like you understand that now? But here's the beginning of it. Don't be misled. You cannot mock God. What? I do not want to mock God. Because that's an insult when you mock somebody, right? Like, what does that do to God when I'm mocking Him? And our good and kind Father has given us a warning. You can't get away with this. Don't even try it. Doesn't it sound like something parent, mom or dad would say? Don't sass me, right? You can't get away. You stop it. What are you doing? You know better than that. I'm watching you, right? It's the kind of things we parents say. What were you thinking? You think I didn't see what you were doing? I know everything you do, right? That's what God's saying. Don't try to get away with stuff. You can't. I mean, there's a level we can go to, but I don't want to mock God. I don't want to do that to Him. You know, He's a person, right? He's not some, you know, the force be with you. That's not who God is. He has feelings. He does. How many of you can remember a time you were mocked in your life? How'd that feel? Made fun of, talked horribly behind your back, betrayed. I don't want to do that to the Father. I don't want to hurt His feelings. It's a little different for us to think about God having feelings, but He does, right? It's clear He's a person. Now, there's one other thing the Father wants us to know about this as we wrap up today. And it's something that every farmer knows, but we city folk forget, right? And it's this. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued in doing good, because at the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. There's no farmer that's going to plant. We're going to be in planting season soon in Schuylkill County. That's going to plant some seed, and if 3 weeks later there's not a harvest, he's going to turn it under and give up, right? I mean, you want to talk to some patient farmers, talk to the tree farmers of Schuylkill County. Anybody know a tree farmer? Yeah, they are some of the most patient people I know. And some of them have to deal with interesting challenges. They get up at 2 a.m. to go out and tend to their trees, and snakes get up in the trees. There's all kinds of issues, but they have patience. When we sow that first seed to the flesh, man, doesn't it feel good? It's right away. Yes. We get that instant gratification. But there's, in the spiritual realm, there's a waiting period. And that's what the God wants us to know. Watch out for this, but hold on. It's coming. It's coming. It will come. It will come. I promise you. You can trust me. And more for us, because we're such a, you know, what's the average attention span now in America? 8 seconds? This is harder for us than it's ever been. You know, a generation ago, two generations ago, remember, if some of you can remember what it was like not to have a microwave? I can't remember not having a microwave. You were more patient, weren't you? And maybe some of you can remember what it was like before there was a fast food restaurant. I don't know. I remember you couldn't get, where I grew up, you couldn't get gas on Sundays. So you had to plan ahead, right? Not anymore, right? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and get whatever you want. I mean, we can actually, in possible, order from Amazon and get same day delivery on some items. Any of you done that? Don't give up. Don't get worn out. Don't get fatigued. And when you're feeling that way, we need each other. We've got to rely on each other. We need to encourage one another, right? You can't do this by yourself. It's impossible. You've got to hang in there. Hold on. Because there is a harvest if we'll wait for it. Let's wrap this up today. So what God did for Ian, He wants to do for you. And for those you love. And for everyone in our in Schuylkill County. And all of this hangs on, what will we plant? It is a law like the law of gravity. We cannot ignore it. I want to say one more really important thing to you. Do not walk away from here. And if you're listening online, don't walk away from this thinking, I can't do it. Because sometimes we do get stuck in places, and we need prayer to break free from that. Prayer with somebody else. You and God are not enough. Say this with me. Me and God are not enough. Say it one more time. Me and God are not enough. You're not. You're not. We've seen powerful, powerful breakthroughs for people that will ask for prayer. And we're going to have a prayer team, two prayer teams today that are going to be in the back after communion. If you want prayer, all of us, almost everyone in this room has gone. So don't be ashamed to think, oh, I'm some weirdo. I've had like a half a dozen of my own prayer sessions because I know I need it. If I need it, you know, we all need it, right? Don't live stuck. If you try to do this and you can't break free from that planting to the flesh, don't stay there. Don't think, well, I tried. I give up. No, that's the lie of the enemy, right? Don't live there. So what we're going to do now is we're going to sing a song and pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And we're going to sing the song first to kind of prime our prayer pump. And it's really a simple song. It's a song that just basically says, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian in my heart. I want to be more loving in my heart. And we go through 3 or 4 verses. It's real simple. Just make this your prayer, and then we'll sit back down and we'll pray for a little bit, and then we'll take communion together. I want you to have all that the Father wants you to have in your life today before you go. Do you want it? So enter into this time of prayer with all your heart and faith and trust. He'll do something in your life today. Let's stand and sing.